Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you and praise you that you're a God who loves us. You're a God that hears us. And that you're a God who lives in us through your Spirit. Help us now to hear your words. Help me speak clearly. And help us now to be challenged and changed and encouraged and all those things by your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In preparation for our AGM that's coming up in the next in an hour-ish, I've been reading through the annual reports. Most of you, I'm assuming, have either seen a hard copy of this or at least have seen a soft copy in your emails, looking at all the different kinds of things that we've been doing over the last 12 months. It's been so incredibly encouraging. There has been a lot going on in the last 12 months here at church, isn't there? New ministries that have kicked off in this last 12 months. New people that have come to our church over this last 12 months. We have seen people come, be welcomed and encouraged, and have decided to stay and call this their church, their home church. We have seen ministries that have been around for many generations get a new lease of life, to be energized. God is doing some great work here at Burnie Anglican in our church, isn't he? It's just been great. This community of believers here at Burnie are growing and maturing in Christ. And as we grow, we are seeing God continue to work both in us and in our city as well. Now, as I look at these reports, one of the things that I'm most encouraged is that in these reports, it's not Phil doing all the work, and it's not Sonny doing all the work. Phil and Sonny are here to help the community do the work that God has called us all to do. We are here to build you up in Christ, to encourage you and to allow you to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the great works of service in this community and for the places beyond this community of service to God, to see God's name proclaimed and glorified. We see different names of people overseeing different ministries. We see different names of people that are involved in these activities. We see a community of believers here at Burnie Anglican trusting Jesus and working together to the common goal. And that is right in the first page, in the cover of our reports, to know Christ and make him known. We are a community here, aren't we? But we're not just a community for community's sake. We're not just a club, but we have a common goal, a common task, a collective commission from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, which we read in Matthew 28, which is to make disciples. We're a community of believers with a common goal, to know Christ and make him known. And today, as we look at Acts chapter 18 that Meredith has read for us, we'll see here a community of believers with a common goal of making Christ known. And the big idea that I'm going with today is this. Making Jesus known is a community project. Making Jesus known is a community project. Last week we saw that Paul was in Athens, and this place was full of idols. And he spoke in the ruling council, the Areopagus, the House of Representatives. And the people heard, and there were varying responses. Some believed, others wanted to hear more, and others mocked. But from Athens, Paul comes to Corinth. Now, Corinth is a really interesting place. It is a secular place. It's very rich, it's very busy, it's very sensual. There are lots and lots of different things going on in this place. One of the idols that are worshipped is Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love. There's other idols that are worshipped where there's, in the temple, there are thousands of prostitutes. One of the sort of colloquial things that you could say at the time was, "Oh, you are a Corinth," which basically means you're a prostitute. But that's the nature of this place, this place that Paul has come to, and while he's there, he meets another Jewish couple. So if you've got your Bibles open, please have them open on your devices or whatever it is. We're going to be looking at both the section that's been read for us, but the section before as well. So it'll be great to have your Bibles with you. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 18, verse 1. And this is what Luke writes. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, and who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. When Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. See, Paul and this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, work together. They've got a task to do, and that's to survive. And that what they do is they've got a trade of making tents. So they make tents and they fix tents and they do all that kind of stuff. But on Saturdays, Paul goes off to the synagogue to do his normal thing of talking to the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks and telling them about Jesus. This is already a team. It's a community. It's small, but Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila are a team working together, a community working together, and they've got a common task. And it's not to build tents. It's to allow Paul the opportunity to get into the synagogues to tell people about Jesus. And this community starts to grow. Look at verse 5. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching and testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. So when Silas and Timothy come from Macedonia, they bring with them a collection that's been taken in the churches in Macedonia. And this allows Paul to stop the work that he's doing in tent making and focus completely, full-time, on gospel proclamation. He is meeting with the Jews. He is telling them how Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one that the Old Testament was talking about. Remember all those prophets that were saying things about the servant coming, the king who's going to be forever? That's Jesus, is what Paul is saying. And he's going and pointing people to Jesus every day. And as usual, that we keep seeing over and over again, some people believe, and others don't. But those that don't, they start attacking. So have a look at verse 6. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Verse 7. Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. So Paul is being attacked by these people who don't want to hear what Paul has to say. And so what Paul does is he harkens back to Ezekiel in the Old Testament. And he makes this point. In Ezekiel, there was a role for a particular person. Their job was to stand at the city wall, at the top of the city wall, and look out. And look out to see if there was somebody coming, there was some kind of a threat. It might be an invading army, or it could be a vicious animal, or it could be all sorts of kinds of things. But whenever they came to see something like that, their job was to blow a horn and warn people, tell them that something's going on. It's a little bit like when we walk through shopping centres and you might hear the fire alarm go off. Now, when the fire alarm goes off, one of two things will happen, particularly in a shopping centre. Some people will hear it and go, "Oh, okay, we need to get out of here, otherwise we're going to get burnt, or we're going to get injured, or something's going to happen." And then there's the other group, and generally speaking, the majority, who just kind of go, I'll just keep shopping. And they just keep going on about their things. I used to work as a shop assistant once, and I used to find that people would just come up and ask me questions about products while the alarm is blaring. I could quite easily say to them, your blood is on your hands, I'm out of here, and leave. And that's what Paul is saying here. I have given you the important information. I have warned you about the coming judgment of Jesus, that God has raised from the dead, who is now sitting at God's right hand, who is now the king, and one day he will come back, and you need to recognize that. He's given them the warning, and they've just said, nah. Tell me about this other product. He's blown the horn of the coming reality. And so as a sense of judgment, Paul says, be on your heads. He goes next door to Titius Justus's place, and he continues to share the gospel with the Gentiles, and many come to believe, even a synagogue ruler. But so we see slowly this community of believers are growing. More and more people are coming to know about Jesus. More and more people are believing in Jesus. But there's another person who is part of this community that's really important, and we see him in verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Have a look at what he says to Paul in verse 9. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. You see what Jesus says to him? Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. I am with you. There will be no harm. There will be no attacks. I am with you. Jesus explains the reason for that is because there's many people that belong to him in this city. And the call for Paul is to share the gospel, boldly and confidently. And so Paul stays there for a year and a half. But the Jews, they still don't like what he's talking about. They don't like his message. And so they take him to court. They take him before the governor and they file charges against him. And they say, this man is seducing people. This is really interesting, the word seducing, isn't it? Because we're in a town of seduction. And he's saying that they're seducing people into acts of worship that are illegal. And you can just imagine Paul is sitting there in the defendant's corner table, and he's got his files out, he's got his briefcase there, he's got all his arguments ready to give. And as soon as he's ready to stand up and say, I object, the governor interrupts him and says, this is not a criminal matter. This is one of your own little squibbles that you're having. And so you deal with that yourself. It's not my problem. I'm not going to deal with this. And so the governor throws out this case. And so Paul continues. He continues there sharing the gospel with those that hear it and are either changed or want to hear more. But after some time, he moves on to Ephesus with Priscilla and Aquila. And he does the same thing that he's done everywhere else. He goes into the synagogue and reasons with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks in verse 19. And he does this for a while, then he goes back to Jerusalem and then up to Antioch, his sending church. But we read about other people in this community of believers. We read about what Priscilla and Aquila do when they meet Apollos in verse 25. And this is what Luke writes. Have a look at verse 25. He had been instructed, this is Apollos, had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogues. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Notice that Apollos, he knows about Jesus. He's teaching about Jesus accurately. And it seems that he doesn't have all the information. And so what does Priscilla and Aquila do? They open up their house. They allow him to, they invite him in, they sit him down and they explain to him. They don't accuse him, they don't abuse him, they don't attack him. They show love and respect and care for him. They encourage him and help him to get better, to be a better member of this believing community. And they send him off to Achaia with letters of encouragement that the churches in Achaia should welcome him and continue to encourage him. And you see, and you read at the end of chapter 18 that he goes into the synagogues and is reasoning again with those that are objecting to his message. Friends, when we look at the stories about what Paul is doing, it can be easy to see Paul as somebody who's a lone ranger, doesn't it? He's this amazing person walking from city to city, wearing the clothes on his back and just telling people the gospel, making the gospel known, all by himself. But what this passage and others have shown us, that it is a community effort. That is a community of believers involved in the work of making Christ known. Here we have Paul, Aquila, Priscilla, Timothy, Silas, Jesus, and Apollos all working together for one common goal, making Christ known. Here we see a community of believers sharing the gospel to those who belong to Jesus. Did you notice in verse 9 that Jesus didn't give Paul a list of names? Wouldn't it just be nice if Jesus did that? Just, here's the list of all the people that belong to me. Go and tell them and they'll accept. But that's not what he does. What he does is he tells him to keep sharing the message about Jesus to those around you. Keep speaking. Keep sharing the good news about what Jesus has come to do. Keep doing it. Because there are many people in the city that belong to him. Aquila, Priscilla, Timothy, Silas, Apollos, they're all involved in this gospel-making work. They start off, they're doing things like making tents. They're freeing Paul up to be able to do that work, sharing the gospel themselves. And not only that, they're helping others to be encouraged and challenged and shaped in such a way that they can continue to do that work in an effective manner. This is a community of believers with a common goal, a common task of making Jesus known. Making him Jesus known is, friends, a community project. So what is it for us here at Burnie Anglican? Well, we should be encouraged to know that we're not lone rangers. We're not doing this on our own, but that we are doing it as a community with a shared goal of making Jesus known. We are not alone, but we are a church that has a vision of making Christ known to those around us. So be a part of a community of believers that is on about achieving this vision. Seeing people who belong to Jesus here in Burnie come to know him. Are you a praying person? Maybe you can be praying. Praying for opportunities to share the love of Jesus to those around you. Get together with other people and pray with them. Get involved in a gospel community here at church and pray with a small group of people about those that you long to see come to know Jesus. Invite people to hear the gospel. Bring them along to church or bring them along to a gospel community and a gospel growth group and help them to see how other people love Jesus. Get them to see how other people and why they believe in Jesus as well. We can work together on a common goal. You look at all the different ministries that are running in our church. We've got playtime, mini makers, we've got youth group, we've got growth groups, we've got all sorts of different ministries that are going on, all with the one goal in mind, to know Christ and make him known. And we have a wonderful ability as a community of believers to be involved in that work. Maybe for you it's like Priscilla and Aquila opening your house, as they did for Apollos, and invite someone for a meal or for a coffee or for a chat, and that God will open up opportunities for you to be able to share the gospel with them. And it might not be that this is the first time they're hearing it. It might be that you're encouraging them to continue in the gospel. For those of us in this community who would consider themselves to be on the older side of the age group, I don't know whatever that is, maybe it might be a good opportunity for you to adopt a younger person on the age spectrum and pray for them. To let them know that this week I'm going to be praying for you. To ask them questions about how they're going in their walk. To commit to keep valuing them and encouraging them and growing them and helping them to be shaped into the likeness of Christ. Maybe it might be an opportunity to take people out for lunch or for a coffee or something like that, with the distinct way that you are able to continue to grow the truth, allow them to know the truth about Jesus. Now, unfortunately, I've lost my last sheet. But let me finish with this. Our gospel, our work as a community of believers is making Jesus known. And as a community of believers, we need to know that making Christ known is a community project. We're not doing it alone. Paul wasn't doing it alone. Priscilla and Aquila weren't doing it alone. Apollos wasn't doing it alone. Timothy wasn't doing it alone. Silas wasn't doing it alone. Making Christ known is a gospel, is a community project. So let's work together. Let's read these reports and be encouraged by the amazing things that are happening in our church, and see just how wonderful it is that God is working and growing his people. That there are many names that belong to Jesus in Burnie. And so our task, friends, is to keep proclaiming the truth. Keep encouraging each other to proclaim the truth. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a community of believers with a common goal. The goal is to know Jesus and make him known. Help us to be creative in the ways that we do that. Help us to keep focused on the truth that Jesus, making Jesus known is a community project. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe we're going to be singing, so let's stand and sing This I Believe.